we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And we're back. It's been a little while since we've recorded our last episode. We saw some people clamoring on Twitter, asking us when our next episode would be. I even had some people walk up to me asking when we'd be back, and that time is now. A lot has happened. I think that's really an understatement since we last recorded with our little post-mortem after we lost to Loyola. So I think a good way to start would basically be let's name everything that has happened since our last episode chronologically. So, you know, we go from the loss, and let's just try to name everything because it's been a lot up until the news of today. So what was the first thing?
I think near the top is the Adam Miller transfer.
That was my initial thought. Yeah, it was Adam.
That was April Fool's Day. You could have picked any other day, Adam.
Turns out it's not a joke.
It's actually extremely unfunny.
As we all laugh at that now. Yeah, so that.
Poor Tigers.
I think that was probably first. Everything kind of just blends together.
Io announced that he was going to the draft. Then Trent announced he was going also to the draft, and then quickly followed by, he's back.
Yeah. Well, you're forgetting all the ruckus on Twitter of his dad maybe being like he's returning, and then Trent trying to kind of create a little bit of mystery if he's coming back or not, and then all the Instagram stuff.
It was a good maturing moment for me where I've just decided that I'm just going to take it from a player's mouth rather than anyone else. I used to be like freaking out every single time I saw a parent like this or a parent say that. I'm just the player I trust.
Yeah, a parent following someone on Twitter. But yeah, it was funny to see like everyone trying to outscoop this 22-year-old kid who's just like, just wait for the kid to announce. Like,
let him have his moment. Yeah.
Oh, you know what else happened in between, I think, is we got our boy Omar, Here Comes the Pain.
Yep. Well, there are a couple guys who committed, you know, transfers. The timeline, it's all... Mm-hmm. I feel like I just took a very long nap and woke up today.
Do you know what's a really big everyday guy kind of thing to do?
Let me know.
Be a plumber. We got Alfonso Plumber.
Oh, yes. We're a blue collar podcast.
Exactly.
And so we appreciate the plumber as well. Where's Pajimski fit in all of that? When did he commit?
Oh, Pajimski.
Yeah.
Sam's just getting his reps in.
Pods or Podzimski.
I think Sam for the 2 weeks following the commitment just said Pajimski. Pajimski.
In your sleep, Pajimski. I think you were probably like, Pajimski.
Go through my progression, and I deliver Pajimski.
The toughest name to pronounce in Illinois history since Georgie's, Bishanashvili. Has there been a tougher one since? I don't know. Boygbudian before that.
Yeah.
It wasn't Matic. It was Matits.
Matits. Vasil. Anyone else? Yeah, so Pajimski. Yeah, if you ever hear Sam just yelling Pajimski throughout the rest of this episode, I might have re-triggered like his desire to yell Pajimski every 9 seconds or so.
But yeah, so we got the signing day. We unfortunately also found out Nambari Burnett not coming here, Ty Ty not coming here.
We didn't
here.
Want him, though.
Yeah. We didn't want either of them.
Yeah. We got Ramses.
Oh, that's right, RJ. Man, a lot happened.
What else happened? Football-wise, we have a new wide receiver.
True, we do have a new wide receiver.
It brings me back to, like, there's these guys on Instagram. I think it was on the, maybe a Barstool Instagram, when, like, a five-star committed as a quarterback. I kind of had that same feeling when a five-star wide receiver committed. It's like you got a new five-star wide receiver. It's amazing.
Yeah, they you're did talking like a about champagne Marquez Beeson, right?
Yeah, they did like a champagne shower like on a beach. It looks sick.
The comments on that you guys did that were just mean. Were really mean.
Wait, I never said that was us.
Yeah, that was you guys. I was not on that trip. It was mean. Some really mean older men made some really mean comments to you guys on Instagram. But that's why you made it. That's when you made it, I think.
I don't know what you're talking about here. But,
not us.
But yeah. Isaiah Williams, we can talk about that one in later detail because I think I have a take. I think we have other takes too, so that'll be.
And then, I think the undercurrent throughout, I know it was only officially announced like couple days ago was the whole chin and the whole Orlando thing. I mean, that's been swirling for like weeks that, you know, we were kind of simmering in that and it finally became official 48, 72 hours ago. But that was just, that was a bummer, man. I don't know. Like, getting poached by Kentucky. They're afraid of us, I suppose. And so they're like, hey, let's get their two assistants.
Yeah, the only consolation was we immediately hired Chester Frazier, which was interesting. The timing, that just kind of speaks to, like, these rumors have been swirling around for a long time. But
I actually have two questions for you guys. One, I was thinking, do you think Brad, like, when he heard the rumors, reached out to Chester and he's like, if my guys leave, do you want to come to Illinois? Or is that kind of like a weird thing to do before?
I think there was some other circumstances that caused Kentucky to delay their announcement. And so they had to, it was kind of official at a certain time. They wanted to delay it out of some respect. But yeah, I think Chester, once it became official, he reached out to Chester and he's like, that's my guy.
Gotcha. Everyday guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, what is your guys' opinion on the whole alumni as coaches?
That was my other question.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's, I know I've got some different opinions from some other people on the internet, and it's, I understand it. It's like the whole D Brown thing, for example, where it's like, Johnny, come home, D Brown, come home. And it's like, how old are these kids now that we're recruiting in 2000, when 2005 happened? It's like,
they were legitimately five.
They were legitimately 5 years old. And it's like, ultimately, I think it comes down to a coaching thing. It's like, it's a great plus if you went to the University of Illinois, but like, no one really knows if you're a top five recruit, top five star recruit, whatever it is, who D Brown is. Chester can actually coach. He has a history in coaching. This is nothing against D Brown. I'm not trying to throw D Brown under the bus. Yeah. I love D Brown, but I think people are going crazy like, oh, D. It's like, yeah, you love D Brown because of the memories that he served you and how good he was at basketball. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the guy recruiting. Maybe he's a good coach. I'm sure he's great at UIC, but like, let's pump the brakes here on that. And I know like Shielhouse too. I mean, that's a whole other story, but I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Johnny's phone background for as long as I've known him has been D Brown. And so I thought that he would be like, D's my guy, but no, you've been away from D being your guy the whole entire time.
No, it's like, let him be that coach who figures it out, and maybe 10 years from now when he's gotten the experience that we need. It's kind of like, I don't know, sometimes you're looking at that girl, you're like, I'm not ready right now, she's not ready right now, but maybe like 5 years from now, maybe when we're both 40, like, that's D Brown.
They think we're 35.
Yeah. No. I'm saying two separate things, but either way, D's just not ready right now, and I was hoping we would either get Roger as an assistant at Gonzaga or Chester Frazier, the associate head coach at Virginia Tech, because there is something to be said about knowing the program and knowing really how to sell the program, sure. But your first qualification should not be, we want to hire an alum.
Right.
From the reaction today, it kind of seemed like, everyone was very excited for Chester, but it kind of seemed like if we were in college or if we were doing a podcast back from 2006 to 2009, the first 3 years, like, I watched those Illinois teams. I was a fan. I was rooting for them, but I wasn't like in depth, like watching the game, like dying with every moment. And it seemed like the first 3 years of Chester's life, it kind of was like a DeMonte Williams.
First
type.
3 years of his life?
No, first 3 years of his career.
Yeah.
First 3 years of her career. Come on, we've been off a break. I don't know how to speak.
No,
right
I
now.
Wasn't sure because I wasn't a big fan that back then. I don't know if like there was like a big thing in the first 3 years of his life.
A huge growth spurt.
Yeah, I don't know. He was 6'9" at age 4.
First 3 years of his career, it's like a DeMonte Williams thing where like he wasn't really scoring, but he was still doing like the glue guy stuff, and then he comes onto the scene and he just becomes the guy.
I can't believe it's classic invisible DeMonte. We didn't mention DeMonte is also. I'm sorry, DeMonte.
Welcome back.
He didn't want
the attention. He's just like, I'm back.
And or Jermaine transferred, yeah. Sorry.
Oh,
okay.
He did.
Yeah, he did. Yes, yeah. He did. Josh pointed this out before we started recording.
Maddie's been on a little sabbatical. After the end of the Loyola game, after our podcast, I would say, he kind of just wanted to take a break from all Illinois stuff. If it was basketball and even football, which kind of got a little bit of excitement, he wanted nothing to do with the orange and blue. It is true. Nothing to do with the sabbatical. He wanted a sabbatical, and I think now this is like his welcoming back to the orange and blue party. Now that we kind of have we have a podcast going back, and we have –
more than rumors to talk about.
More than
you'll accept me back, I will gladly reinsert myself into this fandom.
I will say that he did sit next to us watching the spring game, so he was there for that.
You guys act like I
rooting for Team Orange, okay? Big W, Elise Menaker, Golden Arm, okay? But yeah, I think that's it's very normal. I mean, I usually do that after a loss, which is just like, okay, the next, say we lose on a Sunday night, Monday, not looking at anything. Tuesday, you can kind of like stomach some things, and like Wednesday, you're kind of back. This is just like a real bad hangover.
Yeah, very convenient of him to show up right when we win the Big Ten title in tennis and golf, but it's whatever.
Yeah, we do have to talk about Country Club U. Yes, I'm back. Now that we've won a couple of Big Ten titles, my soul has been reinvigorated, and that Isaiah's moved to wide receiver. I'm fully back in. I'm all the way back in on the Rose Bowl and winning the national championship in basketball next year.
And then football the year after.
And football the year. And then you name it, I'm fully in. And this is why I needed a break. But now I'm back.
One thing we Josh has asked me about throughout like the past 3 years is you'll occasionally check in on if I feel more confident about football recruiting or basketball recruiting. So is that what you thought I was
going
to say?
Yeah. No, yeah, I knew you were going there from the beginning of this.
Let's check in. What are you?
I don't know. I haven't thought about this in maybe probably 3 months. I think there's not enough set in stone in the basketball program at this exact moment when we're recording where I don't know if I can feel confident in basketball versus football. I know it's going to be a long build, but I still am very confident in Burt.
This is why I needed a break, man. We're already just...
Here we go.
Here we go. What do we say when Lovey got introduced 5 years ago? What did Robert say, man? Hope. I'm going to be the negative Nancy here. Go ahead. Sorry, Johnny. Yeah, no, don't let me.
Here's the thing. I still feel like the answer is basketball just because we're at like an elevated stance. Like football, we're still the bottom of the barrel. And like, I love the approach. I love the guys on the staff. But like, we just have a huge uphill battle with basketball. It seems like a lot of it depends on who else you hire as your other assistant. And assuming we also like Gentry doesn't go to Gonzaga. Now there's some rumors about that.
We're still coming up with more things that we missed in these last couple of weeks. But they're going to trickle in.
The point is, I feel like it's weird with basketball too, because I feel like the last month, all we've done is miss out on guys, miss out on Amari Burnett, miss out on Ty, miss out on like keeping Adam Miller. So I feel like we're so low on our basketball recruiting that we don't think about the fact that, like, hey, Pajimski still was ranked, like, 65th in the Mr. Basketball in Wisconsin. And, like, people still do want to come to Illinois. I'm not saying everything is fine. I actually think there's a lot to be worried about. But it's still, like, Illinois basketball.
Right. Plus, if you look at ESPN's rankings, which no one has looked at ever, but we're looking at it now, RJ
because it's convenient for us.
Is 54, I think. So.
I think for all, what was it? For the three different recruiting sites, we have three different people in the top 70. Like each of our three recruits are in
which way you
top 75 on each different site. So you have like RJ on ESPN, Pods on 247, and Rivals, you have Luke in the top 75.
Statistically, one
of
them
is just, we're just diversifying our portfolio.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
Oh, wait, we kind of got sidetracked off that Chester conversation. You were saying something, and then we got sidetracked, but we don't need to go back to that.
You were talking about the Eric Gordon clip.
Oh, there. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I love about Chester, too, is just, like, a guy who really knows what it is to, like, be an Illini and love that versus, like, you had that with, like, you felt Chin and Orlando were able to sell our university well, but there's something to be said about just that's, like, in your blood, and you know he's not going to leave unless he becomes a head coach, and it's just like an easier sell from a former player to be like, hey, I have this successful career and it all started here.
In his statement, saying I'm here, I just loved it's pretty much exactly what you said. He said, I have blood, sweat, and tears invested here. Met my wife there and deep down still bleed orange and blue. I am motivated to go back to get to work and help our program win a Big Ten championship. This is the important part. It escaped me as a player. I finished second twice. So that is going to be what drives me every day, bringing a trophy home to Champaign. Just love it.
Love that, yeah.
Chills. Just chills. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, Chester just cares so much, and I'm just so ready for... I feel like this fan base, sometimes we have a little bit of, like, an inferiority complex dating back to Bill Self leaving. That's one reason why everyone loved Bruce Weber, was because, okay, he says this is his dream job. Brad Underwood says this is his dream job versus Bill Self's like, okay, I'm going to Kansas, or these assistants are like, we're going to Kentucky. Our fan base just wants someone who's just loyal and will eat this up and know that, like, this is a premier program.
And that's the other side of the argument that is fair. I know I gave my opinion about the whole, you know, don't bring back the alumni thing just because they're alumni, but there is that intangible aspect of, like, really wanting it so badly and understanding what it takes to recruit and work at the University of Illinois. And I know we sent out the tweet earlier today from the boardroom asking, you know, if you got any takes or things that we should discuss, and a good friend of the program, Jacob Raylich, I'm going to get his last name wrong, you know, but Jacob, right?
We call you Raj.
Raj, yeah, Raj. Rails. So he actually asked if there's any chance at landing Roger Powell, you know, an alumni. He does have coaching experience, but he's also, again, it's just like you on your own just kind of go toward, you orient towards that alumni perspective just because they played at the University of Illinois. And it's like, is that the best case just because they played at U of I? Are you really saying that, or is it because he can be a good coach?
See, when you're Roger Powell and you've been the associate head coach at Vanderbilt and you've been an assistant at a program that just went to the national championship, that's you hire him right away. It's really more of like, is he going to come to Illinois?
Right.
And honestly, if I were talking to him, I would totally understand him saying, like, my next job needs to be a head coaching job, and I'm at a place at Gonzaga where I can go to the Final Four every year. I don't want to risk my own career, and I respect that.
Brad's going to be the head coach forever because we're going to win national championship after national championship. But when Roger gets his next coaching job at Dayton, and then maybe, like, let's see, like Cal maybe, because he now has West Coast experience.
Stop at VCU. Midwest.
Exactly.
Recruited.
He'll end up at Illinois, and he'll stay there forever.
See, this is the D. Brown analogy once again. I want him to do well on the side. Maybe D. ends up becoming the head assistant on Roger Powell's staff in 15 years from now.
What if Illinois' coaching staff in a couple of years is just everyone who you have to have played at Illinois? Yeah, it's just a prerequisite.
Coach K. It's a Coach
yes,
K.
You, it's just a total prerequisite.
That's what fans want all the time.
No, that's like UNC fans right now. They see Wes Miller go to Cincinnati and they're like, go do well there for a few years. And if Hubert Davis doesn't work out, like, come by. What were the other takes we saw online?
Well, I want to save this for last, the whole tennis thing, because that is something that we got to chat about at the end. Blockhead 08, good hot take, bringing in Chester, bad hot take, Podge and Payne leave.
We just went through the pronunciation.
Podzimski.
He spelled it P-O-D-Z, so I just said Pods.
Yeah, I think it's fair when
that's fair.
It's abbreviated.
I apologize.
It's okay.
But yeah, so like if you lose the coaches that some recruits are tied to, you could see some turnover, which is why I think I'm still on pins and needles. But what?
Well, we were all worried about a certain point guard leaving to go to Kentucky. But I think Andre is pretty locked
in. Oh, I thought you were coming in with breaking news saying Ty committed to Kentucky.
Yeah, Ty might go to Kentucky, which is fine. But as long as Andre Curbelo is with us, then we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bellows.
See, like,
next year.
I think I feel, like, pretty confident in next year's team making the tournament with Curbelo. But we still have, like, a 50-50 chance right now of having Kofi on our team. Oh, wow. We got some hard takes.
50-50.
50 is pretty high.
50-50, my goodness.
30-70.
No, come on. I know he doesn't like school.
Right.
I know he wants
everyone
to make
listening,
money.
Clip this and bring it back come July 7th, whenever.
Whenever that day. Look, everyone knows that I'd love to be
you
wrong.
You would?
Obviously.
Why?
I want to be
kidding.
Wrong. Okay. It's hard to decipher sarcasm
first team
these days.
Terrible.
Obviously, I want to be wrong, but like I don't know. I think the plan is probably two and done. He was almost one and done. Where does his growth come from in year three? That's my question.
That's I think a rational fan's perspective. Like,
where does he improve
his
draft stock?
I mean,
is he going
to
still grow?
If he's going to improve, he has to improve on his jump shot. Like, and that's like how you would get high drafted. That's how he would get drafted higher. But like, I don't know. We all would probably like squeal every time he would pull up from like 15 feet. Like,
if I'm Brad, I'm like, look, Kofi, I'll let you shoot the ball like 8 times a game. Like,
eight?
A little jumper. Eight. I'm giving you 8 jumpers a game.
Yeah. Free throw line extended.
Free throw line extended. If you come back, if you 8 a game, you can show the scouts what you can do. I'll give you 8 of them a game, but you got to come back. I think that's pretty fair. Would you guys take that?
I don't even know if he wants to shoot. He just like has to
right.
figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'll also, if name, image, likeness is the thing, Kofi, I got you. All right.
Feel the burn.
Check. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this, though. Throughout a lot of the negative news throughout this last cycle, starting with us losing to Loyola, did you guys have that sinking feeling of, yeah, that was like a honeymoon that we had these few months, and like now we're back to being Illinois?
Johnny did his taxes the next week. Yeah. You were doing all these, you gotta, you know, take my car for an oil change. You feel like you're putting off all these things in life because you can just enjoy like what Illinois basketball was. And you're saying the honeymoon's over.
Yeah, that's what my point is. Like, it almost was like a dream. Those months with Io's junior year, and now reality set in. We've lost our assistant coaches. We've lost Adam Miller. We've lost Kofi.
Thank you for recapping.
Like, it just
Sam's
feels
in the
like,
fetal position right now on the floor.
I feel like we're kind of back where we started, and maybe that's underscoring that Andre Curbelo is a future All-American, but we still don't like. We don't have the next guy in the pipeline as a senior or a junior in high school. Like, we have some targets, but there's still no, like, oh, yeah, we got this five-star. This is the first year we're not bringing in a top 50 recruit since Io.
Yeah, no, yeah, I felt the dread. Yes, okay. If you want me to say yes, I felt that way. This is us, me saying yes, I have felt that way.
Yeah, sleepless nights.
And that's what's tough, too, is, like, we didn't even get the tournament success, you know, that's what really,
yeah,
like,
that is tough.
It was the knife in the back of
Mora just came out of hiding. Come
yeah,
on.
Maddie's been gone for a long time, but like, we didn't even get the, oh, it was that one good year. It was that one good regular season and Big Ten tournament. Like, I don't know.
I saw my first ever tournament win as a, like a real fan. I don't know what you guys are talking about. That was a blast. Is it always that fun? Is it always that good, enjoyable of a time? Or does you always
winning the Big Ten championship was fun?
I had a good time. That yeah, I do feel like not only are we back at like square one, but it almost feels like we're like in college again, where some of these teams, you're like, where does the production come from? Like, where does the scoring come from? Where does the rebounding come from if Kofi's gone? Like, where are the wins to get into the tournament? It's just
what was my text? I compared this team to the team that Brad took over.
Yeah.
So we have Trent, fifth year, better than Trent his freshman year. I'll say it. Mm-hmm. Curbelo this year, better than Mark Smith.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
His freshman year.
Huge.
Massive difference. What else do we have here? It comes down to the bigs, and the bigs are LaRon is better than our current five, whoever it's going to be. Payne.
Omar Payne, yeah.
He's probably going to be better. And then we have Aaron Jordan or DeMonte.
Like, I'll take DeMonte.
DeMonte.
DeMonte is such a winner.
Grandison. Okay. And yeah, Grandison was the one that I...
And Finke, were we saying like they're kind of like the same?
Hutcherson, like, Chad.
Yeah, oh that's...
That has been the number one point of angst of me this whole entire offseason is people just slotting in Hutcherson just right into the starting lineup.
Everyone knows if you miss two consecutive years due to injury and transfer, your rating goes up two stars.
With no D1 basketball experience.
I hope he is the best player in the world, but how can you just slot him in?
There's media members who have said he is the equivalent of a five-star.
Is this ESPN's ratings? Yeah. Or because if you
ESPN Quad Cities.
Let's just say they're not who you might consider to be your primary sources of information, but they do have followings on Twitter, and
it's ridiculous.
Sounds like something we would tweet.
Yeah.
All right, so let's put a little bow on the basketball talk here, and then we'll get into a little football and a little non-revenue sports here. Let's try to end on a little bit more positive note, because we are Illinois basketball and we can be trusted. Let's get some words of inspiration, of hope, as we go into the summer here for why we should be feeling good.
You know what makes me feel good is Iowa lost Luka Garza. Iowa lost CJ Frederick. Iowa lost Joe Wieskamp. Iowa lost Jack Nungy. Like, if I can't be happy, you can't be happy either. So at least that's going bad for
that's
them.
Exactly what I was going for. But okay, Sam, reasons why we should be inspired come this summer now.
Literally all of our point guards on the roster could be like first team Big Ten. Sorry, all of our scholarship point guards.
Alfonso Plummer?
Is he a point guard?
Yeah, he's probably more of a shooting guard.
All right. Okay. I still stand by the statement.
Tyler Underwood?
I don't know if he's on scholarship.
I don't know if he's going to be on the team next year. Is he on the team?
That's what they say every year. And then he magically.
Yeah, senior night this year.
Behind this. I'm going to pull out another year of eligibility from this hat.
They're just giving them out like hot
Tyler,
takes.
Tyler, we love you.
Yeah.
No, life hack, how to start as a sophomore walk-on.
Yeah. For 7 years in a row. Okay, wow, I'm starting to feel a little bit more good.
I said that
more good.
There was a 50% chance of Kofi coming back.
Yeah.
And so that's my positivity. He's coming back. He wants to have the show for him. He wants Illinois basketball to be him with Curbelo also. But no more Io. It's Kofi's team.
I think one thing will be fun, though, is just seeing – it's going to be Lob City next year with Omar Payne. The dude is athletic as heck. And now, like, the ball's in Curbelo's hands the entire game. So it's going to be exciting. Games are going to be fun to watch. Obviously, we're not going to win as much, but it's still going to be entertaining basketball. We could be Indiana basketball fans who just that slow, boring. I guess now they don't have Archie Miller, but at least we get to watch entertaining basketball.
Indiana basketball, sorry to put a damper on this. They've had the Burt off season, but like with basketball, and when you turn the program around in like just an off season, it looks really good for them right now.
And when you just have the stature of being Indiana basketball.
Let's talk about an alumni getting hired on again. Exactly. Hey, we've been talking about all day. My reason for inspiration, you can win less games next year. All you gotta do is win one extra game in the tournament. You've already made it farther than this year's team did. So it's so easy. You just gotta win one extra game in the tournament and you've already made it farther.
I don't even want to be a one seed.
No, I don't want to be a one seed either. Let's be an eight seed.
This tournament doesn't reward, as Sam says, doesn't reward the one seed whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac Trotter mentioned it, but there's a very good chance we see Kentucky in the tournament. I would love that 2-7 game, like us being the 7 seed, just upstart. Andre Curbelo's like, you know what? Oh, Coach O, you left me. You know what, Chin, you left me. I'm ending your season.
Buy your tickets now. They're non-refundable. All right, let's move on to some football talk here. We talked a little bit about Isaiah Williams for like 5 seconds. Do you have anything else to say about that? It is a big deal. I will say, I think Brett Bielema put him into a room and he said, look, if you want to play in the National Football League, your best bet is probably at slot receiver. And if I'm Isaiah Williams, I'm like, okay, like that sucks, but that's probably true. Brandon was probably winning the job. I love Isaiah Williams. I remember the morning he committed. I was absolutely so thrilled for him, but it probably makes sense for his career, not just the team, for him to play wide receiver, and that's exciting.
I'm as excited as you know what, as heck, as Johnny said. I mean, this is the five-star that committed to us. You can do a lot of things with him. He can throw the ball. Like, he's not gonna be your starting quarterback, but you can put him in some weird spots.
Over under how many like double reverses they run where he like gets the ball and like a reverse jet sweep and he throws the ball, like, you know that's gonna happen.
There'll be like some direct snaps that probably just end up in him running down the middle, but I'm very excited. I keep thinking about Rondale Moore, which I shouldn't get my hopes up with, but
Kyler, Rondale, and Isaiah all in the Cardinals in 2 years. That'll be
sold.
Small fry.
As someone who's a little shorter in stature, now that is a team I can get behind.
What else happened football-wise?
Oh, I mean, I still have kind of a little bit of a counter opinion towards Isaiah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, he came to Illinois to be a quarterback, and to me, I just wanted that to work for him so bad because he passed up offers from a lot of other places because he's confident in himself. He's going to the Elite 11. He's winning a state championship at Trinity Catholic. And he says, you know what? I can go anywhere, but I want to go to Illinois and I want to be a quarterback. And I wanted the place for him to be successful as a quarterback to be Illinois. So I feel like Illinois almost let Isaiah Williams down a little bit. And it's tough because he's still only a redshirt freshman. So he still has time. And I guess it didn't seem like Brett really cornered him. It sounded like, from what Brett said, Isaiah kind of said to him, this is what I want to do, versus Brett saying, like, we need you to play wide receiver. But it's still sad knowing that what I had dreamed of was Isaiah Williams, like, throwing touchdowns and running for 200 yards and taking us to a Rose Bowl, and now I guess we got to recalibrate some of those expectations.
He can still take us to the Rose Bowl just as a wide receiver. But yeah, I said Rose Bowl in 2018. What was it, 2018? Or yeah, 2018, probably 7 times in like about a 5-minute span when he committed. It's disappointing.
Pajimski.
That was not Sam, though.
I know, but yeah. I'm just thinking about how you said Rose Bowl all the time. You know, just go on.
Okay, regardless, it is sad, but I'm excited because he's finally going to be like an active person on this team making an impact, and that's all we wanted from him.
I'm interested to see, though. I guess we'll see how good Art is.
I was going to say, we forgot about something. Yeah. We kind of fancy ourselves like Rutgers quarterback aficionados, you know, going all the way back to like Giovanni Rasciano. We pride ourselves on knowing the
shout out Johnny Langan wearing 25. Like, are you a quarterback if you don't throw
and
the ball?
And what's his face wear zero, right?
Yeah, Noah Vedral. Oh
yeah, no, so like I said, we really pride ourselves on knowing the Rutgers quarterback depth chart. And so when we found out that Art was coming over, I mean, what was his stat line against Illinois like this year?
Three picks, or
and even like
that one
his
game,
first start against Illinois, it was rough. Yeah. It was really rough. Wasn't he like a not Elite 11, but like IMG?
He was a 4-star at IMG. Yeah. He actually he wasn't the starter senior year at IMG. He lost it to
Zach Anik. Yeah,
what were his offers? Minnesota. I'm curious. Can you look that up, Sam? I'm really
Miami.
Curious.
No, so his Miami was like the main school that Rutgers was competing against, and then
they usually win those battles.
They
Rutgers
did
does.
Come in hot. Like it, I think this was like late junior year that they came in. I could be wrong.
This is good radio.
Yeah. So Art the backup?
He is this year's backup.
Well, I guess right now it's probably Matt Robinson until Art figures out the playbook and everything like that. I'm sure he'll be ready by the time week zero happens.
They say Art imitates life, so when he comes in and throws three picks for Illinois in the first half of a game, you know, it's really just going to be a beautiful, shining moment for Illinois football. But Art Sikowski, come on down.
But that's my question is, maybe Isaiah has a good year at receiver. Brandon Peters graduates. Thanks for your time. Maybe Isaiah's like, I still have the itch to play quarterback, and I still think he might be able to beat out Art Sikowski. So I'm not just done yet giving up.
You're going to go back and forth. That was more of a Lovie Smith era type thing where you're moving guys, you know, from position to position, offensive line, defense. And I don't know if
snip, snap.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't know if Brett's going to do that because he probably is most efficient.
It's interesting. Art has like all these power five schools like in his profile. I didn't know that they all come together. Like you can have all these power five players.
I thought it was
together.
Just power five traits that we were looking for, not guys with offers from LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, UCLA,
Coastal Carolina. Yeah.
This is Art.
Ohio State.
This is Art. Yeah, he's got offers from those schools.
Yeah, well, had when he was going into college.
What happened?
He went to Rutgers. Yeah. He fell in love with Piscataway.
Yeah, I mean, he was a true freshman.
New Brunswick.
True freshman.
You're laughing.
Starter. Like, true
it
freshman
It was such
starter.
A bad situation. Yeah, it was a terrible situation.
Okay, but like, I'm saying this as an Illinois fan, but like, why would you put yourself in that position at Rutgers? Like, do you want to just be the guy at Rutgers?
He's from New Jersey.
Oh, well, that's an important detail. I feel like that's an important
I think I didn't know that. Why didn't I know that?
Because his name was not, like, Italian enough, like the kicker. Valentino Ambrosio. Like I said, we know the kickers. We know the quarterbacks at Rutgers.
It's, like, the second thing on his profile. It says Old Bridge, New Jersey, and I just didn't know that he wanted to be a Rutgers player.
Well, you know what? Saquon wanted to be a Rutgers player almost before not going to Rutgers, and probably a good idea, but you're thinking, you're calling it now, Johnny, that Art is going to be the starter in 2 years?
Hopefully it's Deuce Span.
The deuce is loose.
Yeah. Deuce is loose. Yeah, mouth guard and all.
But yeah, other football takes before we talk about the most important things, a.k.a. double Big Ten champs.
I love the O-line emphasis, even though we're not like getting amazing recruits, even though I do love Joey Okla. It's just like, this is what worked at Wisconsin. Like, let's just not make it harder than it has to be.
Yeah, I think Josh and I have talked about that, where the guys that we've signed on are decent, solid players, not that highly rated, but we love the staff's approach, which is lock guys down. We've been waiting for so long, like slow playing guys, and then they get a better offer and then they pick another school, versus let's lock guys down who want to be here and continue to save yourself time so you can go after the really good targets.
I think there's a lot of official visits coming in this June. Focus on the players that are going to be harder to win, like during that time, and you get these players on board and you get to get a head start on the next year's class. I think it's a way better approach. I don't know if it's going to be a successful approach. I just personally think it's a way better approach. And like, momentum in the fan base is so important. It's recruiting is a game, and you just need to win the recruiting game in order to win actual games.
And the best thing about recruiting this year for us, big like Twitter and message board people who like to banter is, oh yeah, well, these are the hardest rankings that they've ever had because they haven't seen these guys in person. So anytime someone's been rated poorly, whether it's
easy.
Oh yeah, we got AJ Storr too,
and all these kids, like, they just had their high school season.
Exactly.
They just, like,
the
how
film's
are they
not
going
out.
On yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
the film's not out, so no, our players are better than yours,
right? And if we do get highly rated players, then that rating is correct.
True.
By the
yeah,
way, that
definitely.
Rating is correct. It's just
yeah.
the ones that are off. Right, okay, just want to make sure we're all clear on that system here. You can also check ESPN's ratings if the other ones are not to your liking. I was walking down the street with you, Sam, the other day, and you told me, you were like, there's no reason for our first game against Nebraska to not be a sellout. Assuming that, you know, with COVID and everything that is allowed, that full capacity stadiums are happening. Sam's like giggling at it.
I'm just thinking of like some political joke I can make about what. I won't go there.
That's probably a good idea to do it. Sam's like, it's the first, it's new coach, it's week zero, there's no other games.
Hopefully
maybe
under
game
the
day, under the
yeah,
lights, Nebraska -6.5, like everything there, it's for the making of an Illinois sellout. But in my head, I'm like, I don't know, there's not been very good for a couple decades. People just continuing to buy in until you give them an actual reason to. I mean, how many games sold out under Lovie Smith? Two? I'm thinking North Carolina.
But what's the second?
Nebraska, man. Probably wasn't.
Oh, that's
sold.
The thing.
Oh,
too.
It's going to be
Nebraska.
It is
Nebraska
be sold
travels
out.
So well. So.
Oh, that is true.
Okay, everyone, buy your tickets now.
They're non-refundable.
Do not put them on sale. I swear to God, only sell it
we'll
to someone.
We'll be your ticket brokers. Yeah. We're really experienced with tickets.
Oh God, we lost a lot of money.
Shh, Mom,
buying
Elite
Eight
tickets.
Not
even hear that.
I know there's a few of you out there. Actually, there's a few. I've talked to a few people that wasn't in our little ticket buying group, and there are people who bought a lot of Sweet 16 and Elite Eight tickets expecting that they would hit on one of the Illinois games. They didn't earn the money that they thought they were going to win. We're with you here. We were depressed for a long time. Might have burned a few bridges, but we're good.
Either way, don't resell your tickets to anyone with a Nebraska state code, okay? We want an orange sold-out crowd, no red.
ILL, as Brett Bielema will say at the end of his interviews. It could be sold out. The whole week zero thing, like, there's nothing else going on.
Just think about
it's been almost 2 years.
Think
since
about
you've
Lot
been
31.
Yeah.
Lot 31 in Grange.
It's calling
Grove.
Your name.
Oh, my God.
We will be having an official boardroom field pass. We love no other tailgate, I think, you know, right? Josh,
yeah, let's confirm that.
Let's
confirm
that now.
Let's
just confirm that right
now.
Right now. Right now.
We'll bring
a
bus down.
Just stare daggers into me.
We're going to bring a bus from, what's our favorite Illinois bar? Schoolyard? Let's bring a bus from Schoolyard all the way down.
The bar that's closing?
No, it's coming
back. Joe's on Weed Street. We'll say Joe's on Weed Street. Either way.
No, Joe's on Weed Street turned into a Loyola bar after we lost.
What about Orange and Brew in the suburbs? That's an Illini bar.
Yeah, is that the Naperville one?
I think the somewhere fact that I think the reason Illinois lost was because Budweiser, the place on next to what is it called?
Oh yeah,
Brickhouse.
Brickhouse closed. That could actually be the reason.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So get your tickets.
Not Porter Moser's strategy. Just that bar being closed.
Yep. I now have a nightmare in my head.
Get your tickets. We will be having a great time there.
Let's just sell out and just do this forever and just be Iowa or Wisconsin. Like, let's not look back.
Yeah. Oh, easy, right? Anything else about football?
Oh, what are your guys? What we came up with a couple. But what's your if we were John Rothstein for football?
Oh no,
what
let's
would
do
be
this
Brett
another
Bielema?
Time. let's just like come up with like one or two.
I just said for Brett.
We'll
Bielema,
explain first. Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, the John Rothstein like ism for football. Let's make one for Brett. And everyone, tweet us your favorite John Rothstein ism.
So it's like, for example, if you're not familiar with John Rothstein, it's like
here comes the pain.
You know, it's like Bio Dana. Shirts. His name is Dana Altman, and he aligns Rubik's cubes. Or like Brad Underwood, here comes the pain. Or West Virginia basketball, tougher than a weekend of your in-laws.
Yeah. Mick Cronin, more consistent than a
Brett Bielema.
Will Wade, American gangster.
Brett.
Adam Miller, where's the bag?
Brett Bielema, drunk off champagne.
Well, he used to have more of an alcohol problem, so I don't know if it's that funny. Like,
oh God!
No, he talked about how he was in like Wisconsin.
I was gonna say
and
like
he was
Brett
drinking
Bielema,
a little bit more, and
all
now he's
you
got
have
a
to
family.
Do is win 7 games.
Brett
and
Bielema,
kids.
So Illini, he was born in Illini hospital or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I'm from Prophetstown. Yeah,
the Prophets.
The Prophetstown. Yeah,
Champagne,
the Prophetstown.
The Prophetstown. Or how about Brett Bielema took 30 minutes to explain to his daughter the ILL I&I chant.
Goodness. Oh, man.
She's two.
Is this Brexley or Briella?
It's not an easy chant for everyone. Down, yeah. Okay, well, we got to come up with some really good ones for some other coaches. Like, we could do, like, assistant coaches, too, or, like, other college football coaches. We'll think about this one. But if you've got any good ones, absolutely tweet them at us, because this is this
gonna
is
be
good.
A T-shirt.
George McDonald from the South Farms.
Huh, okay, all right. Andy Boo. Andy Boo.
In-state recruiter.
In-state recruiter. These are really so good. Bad. These are really good.
Should we talk about Hold Me Closer, Tiny Brad Dancer?
Yeah, there we go. Yes, yes. There we go.
Wait, let's touch on golf before we go into our final. No, let's talk about Hold Me Close, Tiny Dancer,
yeah,
Brad Dancer.
Josh, you got to introduce this because the rant here was just astronomically impressive.
So we thought that we were tweeting out a thing, and I'm sorry. We tweeted out, like, give us your reaction or give us some hot takes that you want to, for us to discuss on a podcast that we're releasing later this evening. And we thought that it would relate to basketball, but it was all encompassing. I'm saying it correctly. And so we got a tweet, and Alex Orr, who is a writer for the Champagne Room, he says he's a resident genius, which he probably is, given the fact that his initial tweet to us was the NCAA should be disbanded for what they did with that tennis tournaments. We were, let's just say,
I know nothing.
I have no experience with tennis. I watched the video of Illinois winning.
You know how much experience
I
have with tennis?
Love. Wait, why didn't I get it?
Love, it's like zero in tennis.
Yeah. That's just too many puns.
It's really good. I've been sitting on some of these for. We haven't done a podcast in like a month and a half. You knew that I was gonna have to pop off on a couple of these.
Regardless, so like I've only watched the Illinois tennis this year. I've just watched us win the Big Ten championship and got automatic chills because I just love seeing people passionate about winning for the orange and blue. So I responded, "We're gonna need to know why." As we are very much uninformed on this topic. Sorry, I said we. I don't know if all of you guys were uninformed.
I had a feeling it was about seating.
Yeah, and so Alex responds, it's going to take me more than a tweet for me to explain. Is there a way for me to leave a voicemail or something? And so we don't have a voicemail line.
We might need one every tennis season now.
And so I was like, you can record a voice memo and send it to me over email. Alex sent me a 12 and a half minute rant on tennis seating. And at first I was like, okay, 12 minutes. This is during work. But Alex, I respect it so much because when you're passionate about something like we are about Illinois football and basketball, you probably are too. But when you're so passionate about Illinois tennis seating, that just wins me over in a second. And I believe the point you were trying to make is that because a lot of the schedules were screwed up due to the Big Ten not allowing, like, they barely went out of conference. So the rankings 1 to 25 or 1 to 64, however they do in tennis, they weren't as accurate as they should have been. This year, they included the coaches' poll, which is probably a very biased thing to do.
I think they normally go off the coaches' poll, and, like, surprisingly, they don't have issues. But this year, they, like, disregarded it. Or it was weird.
Did they go for, like, the KenPom of tennis?
Pretty much, yeah. But and, like, the coaches' poll could have, like, been, like, this totally does not check out, and they just didn't.
But no, but then that. They just created their own rankings off of it, which is what he was trying to say. Yeah. And I don't have an honest opinion. I agree with you, Alex.
Because if it's Illinois, it means we were underseeded.
We were 100% underseeded.
Once again, they put Loyola in our region.
No, they didn't.
No. I'm just saying.
It puts a paw in our region.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking for these narratives. But the point is the
tennis narratives. There we go.
The committee.
Folks, tennis narratives.
The committee's always out to get us. But what I will say, though, is I think Virginia is ranked 5th, and we beat them head-to-head, and we went 21-2, and they went 21-2, and we went. Did we go undefeated in the Big Ten? Oh, we only lost to Ohio State, who we beat in the Big Ten championship. So, there's some
still
parallels
talking
there.
Are we talking about basketball? No. I'm confused.
But regardless, I just respect it so much. I wasn't going to play all 12 minutes on the podcast. But for everyone, you should be upset about tennis rankings.
Do you guys want to hear a great, quick tennis story? It's really not that great. My senior year, I was like the main marketing person for tennis. So every match, I had to take a picture of the crowd so they could get the attendance number. I thought there would be like someone at the door counting, like some official system. So I would take it on my phone. I would do like a panorama. So it's not even like a good picture. I would show it to the SID person. They would look at it for 1 second and they're like 1532. I'm like, what? There were more people at the last match, and they're like 15:32. That's it.
That guy was probably so good at doing the whole like guess the amount of jelly beans in the jar. Probably amazing. Win a free car. Close. That's unbelievable. That the spatial recognition.
That's probably what the NCAA committee did with the seating this year.
16. <They're> like,
you're a 17 seed. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
How many SIDs are there? Because to me, the only SID is like Kent Brown, but obviously there are more.
Kent Brown is the chief SID.
Oh, okay.
Now he's just known as the SID since 2008.
Yeah. but Kent, to me, is like, I just see him in those Zoom meetings. They're like, Jeremy, your question. Now we're going to pass it on to Robert here from the lineup board.
And then Jim Cotter.
Man, this podcast, it's like riding a bike. You know, you get back on and it.
And you just keep falling.
You just keep falling off. And you have, there's like one, you always have like one person in the back, like your parents supporting you. It's like, it's okay. Try again. And that's Robert. So thanks again, Robert. That's an unbelievable story.
Yep. Yeah.
1532.
What did you do the same thing at like wrestling matches?
I don't know if we did attendance at wrestling.
Well, that's like State Farm.
There was 1,532 people at
Atkins. I can't verify.
It's an extremely specific number. I feel like when you take those panoramas, you like double count. It's like, you know.
Someone might have been ducking on the.
Yeah, it's like, did you guys do that in Washington, D.C., where you have the big panoramic picture and then someone, you have the teacher on one side of the picture, and then as they move the panoramic, the teacher goes to the other side. So they're in both sides of the picture.
I don't think that's a specific thing to Washington, D.C.
No, no, no. It was always like it's a D.C. thing. Let me know if you know what I'm talking about. Best trip ever.
That reminds me of one of my other friends, or one of our other friends who worked in the athletic department, who the gymnastics coach got mad at him because no one came to the meet the same night as the Maryland basketball game that Friday night a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
just
that's,
like,
that's good situation.
Non-revenue
awareness.
Sports are just their own animal.
Yeah, there was one year. So that same year, I'm going over the promotional schedule with Coach Dancer, and I'm like, on Friday, whatever unofficial was, we're like, we'll do St. Patrick's theme because it's unofficial. And he hits the table and he goes, damn it, did I schedule a match on unofficial again?
Just no awareness, no awareness. I love it. It's like Nick Saban, like, I have no idea that it was like an election day or something. I love it. Brad Dancer's electric. I love it. Well, okay, so that's one Big Ten championship. 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes, we also had a second Big Ten championship.
Within eight minutes.
Sorry, I know my timing is off here. With golf, another one. I mean, at this point, it's just like it's clockwork for Mike Small and company. I don't even know if, like, we should be impressed at this point. It's just so unbelievable.
As someone who's played the national championship course, I really hope that they get there.
That's, I mean, as someone really who's humble. A fan of the team, I just hope that they get there.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Nothing
that
to do
too.
With...
Sam played it, too. I don't want to be humble.
Yeah, just having played it, I hope they get there. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have a totally different perspective of how to root for a team.
Exactly.
Because,
I'm probably going to be in a lot of the similar spots that they are.
I've never even played a round of golf in my life, and I'm even rooting for them.
But that comeback was pretty crazy.
Ridiculous.
You know? And to me, what's crazy, too, is golf is a sport where it's not like tennis where – if you have the best player, you're automatically, like, you're going to win. Versus Mike Small has won 11 out of 12 Big Ten championships. That seems to be unheard of. Like, football, that feels like it makes more sense. But golf, so many guys just have off days that it seems to be impossible to maintain that level of success for 11 out of 12 years.
He's done a better job than the Ohio State football program in golf. It just, it's ridiculous.
Except we got to get that national championship.
How many do they have?
I mean, they won in 2014, 15.
Okay, one.
I mean, I think I would guess that he would trade a couple Big Ten championships.
Yes, 100%.
But in the Big Ten, he has done a better job than Ohio State since they hired Urban
And he
Meyer.
Plays so well himself. It's great. He's such a good player.
Yeah, he is really good. He is really good. So Country Club U. So
buy your
shirts. So we are back. Yeah, we do have that merch. There's that. If you want to buy merch, I mean... by all means, 4th and Kirby, hit them up. It's quality
golf
selection.
Golf School, Country Club U, Here Comes the Pain.
We Love No Other, Field Pass, you know.
Yeah,
Mike Duda.
Yeah, but I really want to hone in on that Here Comes the Pain shirt because I think...
Yeah, that's why. I think that's a good one. It's a good shirt. Cool. I don't know.
Is this now a name, image, likeness shirt for Omar Payne?
We will not. We won't change the lettering.
Yeah.
It'll be the exact same letters. But we are back. Our little sabbatical is over. We'll have some more episodes here as we get into the like kind of
more frequently
the doldrums of the off season here as we get into the summer before football training camp starts, and then before you know it, it'll be football season, and before you know it, it'll be August, September, and football or basketball will be a month away.
That's how time works.
That's how time works. So that is very exciting. So thanks so much for listening, everyone. We will catch you on the next one. ILL. We'll be right back.